You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Are you ready to start your journey as a small business owner? Ready to start something bold? Something groundbreaking? Utah is the startup capital of the world, and we're setting a new global standard for innovation and entrepreneurship. So if you're thinking about starting a new business or looking to grow an existing business, this is where you'll find the resources to make it happen. Visit startup.utah.gov today and start something here.
Best sports coverage in Utah. You're listening to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Jake Scott, Ben Anderson. I want to remind you to join Hans and Scotty G. Coming up today from noon to 3 at My Hearing Center is 8941 South 700 East. Drop by and say hi to those guys. And also, My Hearing Center, they're great, Ben. You've seen their technology in action. It's more than just hearing aids these days, you know what I mean? There's more to it. Imagine how cool it would be to dial into a Bluetooth with just a hearing aid in your ear.
Yeah. Be great.
Rad.
Tune everyone else out.
All right, so...
Sorry, David James, can't hear you. Chapel Roan album came out.
Go check out those guys today. Ben, NBA playoffs continue on tonight. We have three games, two out of three on TNT. The early game will be game two between the Suns and the Timberwolves, Minnesota with a one game to none lead. And then the nightcap will be the Mavericks at the Clippers. The Clippers lead one game to none. And then sandwiched in between the NBA TV game, Ben, game two between the Bucks and the Pacers. The Bucks with a one game to none lead. Well, let's start out the conversation this way. If there is a road team that will win tonight, that road team will be?
I want to say the Suns, I guess. Because the odds-on favorite that everyone thought was going to steal a game early.
But I thought for sure you were going to say the Mavericks.
But I think it's probably the Mavericks. Yeah, it should be the Mavericks. I don't think they're going to play as poorly as they did in Game 1, nor do I think James Harden's going to play as well as he did in Game 1. Oh, by the way, quick adjustment from the last segment. Mr. Outlaw points out, it's Scott Foster who has the thing with Chris Paul.
Not Tony Brothers. Scott Foster.
Tony Brothers
Thank
has
you.
His own issues.
Thank you. Corrections
Thank you, Mr. Outlaw.
And retractions.
Neither here nor there. I would probably initially I would have said if I you know what I would have thought that there was a real chance Dallas was going home up 2-0, which by the way they have done before and still lost a series to the Clippers. So I thought they could have gotten back there. They've got a good chance to win tonight. We will see what happens with Kawhi. I don't think the entire team in Dallas is going to play as poorly as they did. Though the Suns just might not have answers for Minnesota. They just
The Suns are good.
Yeah, all the flaws that the Suns have, you probably can't fix. And I think some of the flaws that the Mavericks had, which was all of their players not named Luka and Kyrie were terrible. And even most of Luka's stats came in the fourth quarter when the game was out of hand already. That's probably pretty easily going to get fixed. I would imagine Daniel Gafford finds a way to grab a rebound. He's a 6'10", has a 40-inch vertical, didn't grab a rebound the first game. I think you're better than that.
Well, and he's really key for them, too.
So he will play better.
And I don't think the Clippers are as good as they represented either. That's why I'd probably pick that game as the road team that would win. And I don't really even believe as much as most folks do in the Mavericks. But the Clippers without Kawhi, I don't think, are better than Dallas? Well, they're still at home, I guess.
There's a real
Clippers
argument.
With Kawhi, I think, is a different story, but I don't think he's going to be. I don't think he's going to be healthy.
No, I'm not. Even if he comes back, I mean, he's just got his knee is apparently all swollen and an issue, and it's always his knee. It's always a problem. Been a problem
his whole career, several years
now. But yeah, for a very long time.
Except for his quad was the one that he used to get out of San Antonio.
But it was the knee that he, banged knees with Joe Ingles and tore his ACL or whatever it was This is the knee that's given him issues again. So this dates back several years. There's an argument all three road teams win tonight. The Suns, who crushed the Timberwolves in the final game of the regular season, that the people kind of thought the Timberwolves were trying to win to get the number one seed and home court advantage throughout. The Suns crushed them and avoided the play-in as a result, so that was a good win for the Suns. The Pacers completely no-showed against the Bucks, and as long as Dame doesn't go off for 35 points in the first half.
Well, tell me why I should believe more in the Pacers. Because I kind of want to, but I don't.
I don't have a good answer for that. I really don't, because they were awesome to start the year because Tyrese Haliburton was so good. He gets the hamstring injury. He forces games to play, and I still don't know if he qualified for it because he needed to play 65 games to qualify for the Supermax contract, which, by the way, I think is a stupid rule. So that's an ultimate cat in the wall, as you'd like to say. And they have not been the same since, though their defense is better. They're also missing Benedict Mathurin, who's a really good player. He's out for the year. And then Dallas just bounces back like we talked about and beats the Clippers. Like, there's an argument there. But no, I don't know if I have a huge reason to believe in the Pacers other than how much do you believe in the Bucks without Giannis?
Not much.
Yeah. The truth is the East just stinks. The East is so bad outside of the Celtics, who are absurdly dominant.
Yeah, well, the East is back to being bad. It was bad for decades. It was kind of good for the last couple of years, and now it's back to being terrible again, I guess.
Yeah, I remember last year we were like, the Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be a bloodbath, and it's going to be exciting. And actually it was, because a team in the play-in tournament, Miami, got to the finals. There were great games, and the Celtics and 76ers went to seven, and the Celtics and the Heat went to seven. Like, there were a couple of iconic classic series. This year is not going to be that. Like, the Cavaliers are going to probably beat the Magic, and they're going to get swept in the second round. All this goodwill that Donovan Mitchell might be rebuilding in Cleveland is going to be swept out the door, quite literally, because they're going to lose in four games in extremely dominant fashion by the Boston Celtics. Everyone's going to say, oh, well, you beat Orlando. Fine. Like, Orlando's not good.
They can't make a basket.
They can't score. It's their first year in the playoffs. They're a bottom 10 offensive team. They're just not very good. So that doesn't really mean a whole lot. This Miami run might be coming to an end. I suspect they're going to re-sign Jimmy to a big contract this summer, but he's 35, doesn't stay healthy very often anymore. Maybe Miami decides to move on. I mean, they're pretty cold-blooded historically, and their willingness to move on from guys as well. It's Pat Riley, so I don't know which direction they take. 76ers have a bunch of free agency money. The ironic thing is the guy they should sign is Jimmy Butler, and or try and go out and get. He's still got a year left on his deal plus a player option. But
probably not going to go over there.
Can't go and get Jimmy Butler. They're still a year away from Paul George hitting free agency. So I don't know how much better they get through free agency this summer, the 76ers. And the Knicks look very flawed right now because Jalen Brunson can't score. It's just all these Eastern Conference teams are fine, but not great.
You know what I had forgotten? That Julius Randle got hurt in the waning minutes of a game that they were up like 20.
Yeah, a blowout. Yeah, dislocates his shoulder.
Thibodeau is something else.
Can't help himself.
Thibodeau is something else. And that's why I'm not betting on the Knicks to go anywhere.
They can still lose this series.
Oh, very easily still lose this series.
You go back to Philly. Philly wins a couple of games, gets the momentum back. Knicks pay.
Because it's the playoffs. Everybody plays their guys in the playoffs. Yeah, you and Coach Lacombe really liked the Knicks all season. And I just didn't see it. But maybe, you know what? Maybe they have a conference finals run in them. What seed are they? When do they have to face Boston?
After the conference finals.
Yeah. So maybe.
No, that was,
I don't
that
think
was
so.
Really advantageous for them. They get the second seed. No one wanted to play Philly, but if you beat Philly, the advantage is you get Milwaukee in the second round and not Boston.
And you could beat Milwaukee because the East is so bad. So maybe, you know, God, I hope not. How obnoxious would the national media be if the Knicks won a
Celtics,
couple of
Knicks?
Series?
Ugh. It's the only game you're going to find.
Vomit.
It's the only thing you're going to find. And it is funny because they're not playing particularly well. They've got good players. I like a lot of their players. Maybe the guy that the Philadelphia 76ers go and sign is Isaiah Hartenstein, the center for the Knicks, that I think is a very good player. Would really make the Jazz a lot better this offseason as well, as a name that you could keep an eye on. But they need a backup to Joel Embiid, and I don't know if he wants to give up a starting job, but he doesn't always start. But anyways, yeah, that's the type of player that would help you. But no one's particularly close to Boston. Milwaukee, you thought was going to be close, and I say you, meaning everybody. I know you actually were a little far lower on them than most people, and you have been accurate in that prediction. The Dame stuff works in stretches. It was great in the first half. I'm equally concerned that he didn't score in the second half as I am impressed that he scored 35 in the first half. Like, they just decided to take Dame out of the game, and they did? That the great players, you can't stop. You can't ever take him out of the game. And they were able to totally take Dame out of the game in the second half. So we will see if he can bounce back tonight and get that on. Is that the NBA TV game? It's got to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben, you mentioned Philadelphia's salary situation and having money to spend. Guess how many players that are fully guaranteed under contract for next season?
Oh, it's like Joel and Paul Reed, who signed the Jazz contract in the offseason.
Paul is not guaranteed.
Oh, that's right. The Jazz didn't even give him a guaranteed deal. It was 1 year with big money and then team options, right?
Not even team options, just not guaranteed. He's technically under contract until 25-26, but...
But they're partial guarantees every year.
Yeah. Joel Embiid is the only player on the team.
It's crazy.
If I'm him, I'm asking out. I'm not kidding.
You got nobody.
You got nobody on the roster. Now, they have control over Tyrese Maxey's rights.
And they're going to give him
a bunch of dough. So he's going to be on the team. But if I'm Joel Embiid, I'm thinking, do I really trust these morons to build a title team for me next year around me and Tyrese Maxey when nobody else is even here? So you got to put together a whole new roster, and that's going to be a title contending team. Hard pass. Get me out of here immediately. What do you think?
Well,
maybe that's the big game that becomes available this offseason.
That is what teams are betting on, including the Utah Jazz, is that at some point these guys, including Joel, Giannis, Luka, are going to be fed up.
Get me out of here.
Going to be fed up with ownership, direction, not enough help. And yeah, the irony is that the 76ers have the options now and the ability to get it. I don't think they have a lot of draft capital because of all the James Harden, Ben Simmons trades that they have.
Oh, there's no way they do.
I can't imagine that they have a lot to work with, but I could be wrong. But they got money, but the ironic thing is that you just don't build through free agency anymore. Nobody does. You're going to be like, well, we've got $8 million to spend, and Talen Horton Tucker's out there. We're going hot dog shopping.
I've never seen anything like this, where you have one player under contract for the next year.
Yeah, they have something like...
One player.
$80, $90 million in cap space if they renounce everybody.
That is crazy. And nobody else is, by the way, in that situation that Maxey is where they control their rights. Maybe KJ Martin and Mo Bamba, but those two guys don't matter at all.
Yeah, at all. Certainly not Mo Bamba.
So in an era, as Ben lays out there, that you don't build teams in free agency, the sell to Joel Embiid is... Well, you should see this team we're going to build in free agency.
Yeah.
Because what you don't have anything else to sell because you can't sell a trade. You can't say, hey, we're going to trade, make a big deal to bring some good players in here. They don't have anything to trade.
Yep, they can't. So I'm looking at the free agency list. This applies to the Jazz. Jazz could have a bunch of money. The Jazz are going to go in the offseason. They're here. Kind of trying to figure out, hey, is there a big name you could sign that would change the team? Or you just give all that money to Lauri Markkanen and the extension. Now, if you bring back a big-time player and you can't give Lowry the extension, and I know there's different ways they can work it, and maybe they just say, hey, let's just wait till Lowry next summer. Then that's fine. You can do that. If you, for some reason, it doesn't make sense cap-wise or you bring in a big name and you want to wait a year to extend him, you absolutely can do that. But the free agents are bad this year. Klay Thompson might be a legitimate option for Philly. But Klay, his last game, he just went 0-for-10 in the playoffs or in the play-in tournament game. Like, that doesn't turn Philly into a title contender. The second best name is Tobias Harris, who
is their guy
on the team, and they want off so desperately. The third best player is James Harden, who can't be in Philly.
Yeah, that's not happening.
Pascal Siakam, he's probably just going to re-sign with Indiana. I imagine they got that worked out when they traded for him. How interested are you in Gordon Hayward at this point in his career?
Sign him.
Kyle Lowry is already there. DeMar DeRozan, maybe. But he just clogs up all the spacing
for Joel
in that little mid-range area he likes to operate in. Buddy Hield is already in Philly. D'Angelo Russell, I don't think you touch him. Gary Trent Jr., interesting. Markelle Fultz, already been in Philly. Like, that's the funny thing is, half of these names you disqualify because of their pre-existing relationship with the 76ers.
How does Daryl Morey continue to get credit?
It's incredible.
He continues to get, everybody's like, oh, this guy's a genius.
It's incredible.
I don't think he is.
Yeah. He is good at doing exactly what we're talking about, putting you in places where you have financial flexibility, especially when it seems like teams had none. He finds a way to do that. But man, if you don't do anything with it, who cares? They could go out and sign Malik Monk. That's another name I'd keep an eye on for the Jazz. He's a good player. Probably going to win Sixth Man of the Year. I think he's qualified for it. They could use Miles Bridges, but I know no one wants to sign Miles Bridges because of his domestic assault. It's totally understandable. I talked about Isaiah Hartenstein. The question is, do you want to invest $20 million in a center when you already have the best center?
No, you don't.
Yeah. I like Kyle Anderson. That's a name I would look at if I were...
Slow-mo?
Yeah, slow-mo.
That'll put him over the top.
That'll fix it.
That'll do it.
So, that's the problem. I mean, that's where the Jazz are, too. It's why, you know, if you're going to improve, you probably got to improve via trade.
Yeah, but the Jazz are in a way different situation in that they are rebuilding, and Philly is trying to contend for a title with the top three player in the league. Like,
no, the Jazz don't have to build a roster this summer through free agency.
But it comes back to what we were talking about, urgency. Like, you've got to take advantage of the teams that are in a bad spot. And I like the idea of Joel Embiid saying, I'm not going to stick around for this. And all of a sudden, Philly's desperate because they got to move a big-time player. And all of a sudden, who's waiting there? You know, another team.
Yeah.
Although, man, wouldn't Joel Embiid fit nicely onto the Oklahoma City roster?
Yeah, it looked pretty good there.
And they've got more assets than the Jazz do still.
Yep. Now, the hard part about that, again, it's the funny corner that OKC has painted themselves into, which is they're so good that they almost can't make the superstar trade, because if they make the superstar trade now, you have to give up on either Chet or Jalen Williams. And they don't want to give up on either because they have fallen in love with those guys. And they're going to be too loyal to those stars to give up to make the improvement that you have to make to get better. That's my bet. And that's going to be something that actually ultimately undoes them.
Well, you probably move Chet if you trade for Embiid.
I think so too. And you would, I would think. But the potential of Chet is so high that there's going to be people like, are you crazy? Joel's hurt all the time. Chet's 20 years old and is 7'4" and is the only guy who's going to be able to guard Victor Wembanyama ever, and it's going to be the West for a three-year chance to win with Joel Embiid now, which, by the way, is probably the right move. Look at the Toronto Raptors trying to get Kawhi Leonard. You got to kick the door down. You can't, as the Jazz have said, tiptoe your way to a championship. You got to kick the door down at some point. And Joel Embiid is a kick-the-door-down type of trade. And the type of thing Philly should be looking at too, by the way. You know, I get that you get these MVP caliber players, but about trying to get that next guy to keep this thing afloat. But I don't know if either team would do that. But OKC got good early, quickly, in a weird way, that I don't think they're going to be willing to trade any of their star players.
Well, if they can't get a rebound, it's like Orlando. If you can't score at all, you're going to lose. If you're Oklahoma City and you can't get a rebound, it's going to be rough.
It's a team I'd keep an eye on, potentially trying to figure out if the Jazz would loosen up on Walker Kessler this offseason.
Oh, that's interesting.
I could see OKC saying, he's young, he's going to step in and do his job, he's a great rim protector. For some reason, the Jazz have not been in love with him in the second season, at least not outwardly like they were the first year. Wonder if you could get him for a
Shea
mid-level first-round pick or something like that, and the Jazz say, hey, we're in the trading first-round draft pick business.
Just don't trade for Giddey. Just don't.
Avoid Josh Giddey. He's already only playing 15 minutes in the playoffs. It's funny.
No, because he can't play in the playoffs.
He can't shoot.
He can't shoot at all.
Yeah. Again, if you just can't shoot, you can't play. It's crazy.
Certainly not the position he's trying to play.
Yeah. Yeah, center, maybe. Maybe. But any other position, you have to shoot now.
You have to shoot.
It's to continue to bring this back to the Jazz. We don't know what these rookies are going to look like a couple of years from now. The intriguing thing is, I know Taylor can shoot. I think Bryce can shoot.
All three can shoot well.
I think Keontae can shoot.
Yeah, I think
so. Those guys all have a chance because they can shoot. Right. And if one of them couldn't shoot, I would say there's probably zero chance they ever play.
But Jazz fans know this. I mean, they tried to talk themselves into Dante Exum for years. He's the fastest guy in the league, which was true for a minute. He's 6'6" and long. I mean, I fell for it. I wanted him to be successful because I like the concept of Dante Exum, but he couldn't shoot a lick, and so you can't play him.
I really like Chris Dunn's game. You can't play him and Walker Kessler at the same time.
No.
Because you can't have two non-shooters on the floor ever. Anymore.
It used to be three.
It moved to four, and now it's maybe five. Yeah. Like, within 3 years, it's going to be five. Yeah. And Walker Kessler's going to be a dinosaur.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly it changed.
But certainly not a guard anymore.
No.
If you're thinking about a guard who can't shoot, think about something else.
Got the wrong game.
Like, unfortunately, Ronnie Brewer ain't going to make it anymore. Ben Simmons didn't make it. I don't think Giddey's, and not make it like Giddey's going to be in the NBA for 10 years, but he can't be your key component of your starting lineup.
Can't be a top four player on your roster.
No. All right, stay tuned. We'll have Alex Keery is going to join the show coming up next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's finally time to say goodbye to the snow and hello to spring, and right now is the best time to spring into adventure in an RV from a Motorsportsland RV Center. Through this week, come check out Motorsportsland's season kickoff event and find the RV you've been dreaming of. Save thousands and even tens of thousands off MSRP and find your next adventure at a Motorsportsland RV Center today.
Let Motorsportsland help you get away.
Motorsportsland.com.
Hey, Casey Scott here, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Project Recovery, sponsored by Reprieve Recovery. It's a podcast about addiction, but more importantly, it's about recovery. My co-host, Dr. Matt Woolley, and I hear stories about overcoming addiction and going from rock bottom to living a healthier and sober lifestyle.
We also share strategies with people at all stages of recovery, and we hope it'll help you find what works best for you, and we can support one another. That's Project Recovery, a KSL podcast. Subscribe for free anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Save big money now on new siding from LP SmartSide at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Jazz, Utes, Cougars, or Aggies. These guys have got you covered.
Time to eat, fellas.
You're locked on to Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
1, 2, 3, move it.
On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Jake and Ben. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Let's get out to the Zone phone. Joining us now is the co-host of JJ and Alex every afternoon here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, the one and only Alex Keery. What's going on, Alex?
Fellas, how is it?
Alex, I know you've been on paternity leave for the last couple of weeks. Did you miss anything?
No. According to JJ, we just flew right through everything. I didn't miss a thing. And apparently, but I was told I should go on vacation more often. Maybe we'll get an NFL team.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, get Major League Baseball here.
Take a little bit longer.
All right. Yeah, why not? What are your thoughts on, what's your relationship with hockey, and what are your thoughts on everything that's transpired over the last couple of weeks?
So this is interesting that this happened kind of while my oldest is almost 16. When I was almost turning 16, I think I was probably, in ninth grade even, maybe just a little bit younger. The Stars moved from Minnesota to Dallas, where we're living. And like as a guy, I mean, that's football country, you know, I mean, like it was Cowboys country and they were winning Super Bowls right before this kind of era. And why doesn't a hockey team go in Minnesota? Like, how do they lose their team? How do they lose the North Stars? Or how do they lose them to Dallas? Well, it was this weird shift that was happening during that time. And we're kind of seeing it now. And this is something we've talked about a little bit, obviously, and I've heard you guys talking about with all the amazing friends we've made in hockey media over the last few weeks. It's just like there's a weird – not weird. It's not weird anymore. It's a wild ride in the South, the Southeast, because this is not just a Northeast or a Canadian sport. When the Stars moved from Minnesota to Dallas when I was a kid, the whole community embraced it. Like, they packed out Reunion Arena, which is where the Mavericks played back then, and they packed out. And, you know, as a kid, what did we do? We bought rollerblades, and we got the street hockey sets, and we were out there like crazy. And the youth hockey programs down in Dallas blew up, which apparently, I mean, obviously we know it's not huge here, and I've always wondered that. Well, we don't have a lot of youth hockey here, which is weird. You should have it, but sometimes getting an NHL team here ends up kind of helping with that underpinning of youth hockey programs, which is what you need. They're huge on that. It's one thing to be like, oh, we have baseball here. Kids like to play Little League baseball, but apparently youth hockey being in a community is a huge part of what the NHL wants, needs, and is kind of critical to their success, not just for fandom and for people liking hockey, but for the sake of kind of getting some development going around this part of the country, which frankly we should have a lot more of.
What do you think about pouncing on the opportunity to get the Coyotes as opposed to maybe being more patient and getting an expansion team?
What are the benefits of the expansion? The draft is really favorable in the NHL, right? I mean, that's a cool thing, but what do you get in the NHL expansion draft? Really, really good players and a lot of young players that you are kind of forcing to come here because you're trying to force growth. But that already is happening, right, in Arizona, from what we can tell. Everybody's telling us, right? Like, and we just have to go off of what everybody says. They have a really, really good, defensive core. They have a lot of young dudes. Their goaltending is amazing. And that's all the stuff you'd want to get in an expansion draft anyway. I mean, it's the best possible scenario just because of how speedy it was able to be done. Yesterday, we were chatting with one of the beat writers from TSN, and he was like, this is an all hands on deck situation. They've never had something like this, a 6-month turnaround. But, you know, if somebody can pull it off, we can. And obviously, the season ticket deposits, which I don't really get how that works mathematically. Maybe it's like putting a deposit on an electric car you're never actually going to buy. You just put a deposit in, and then when the actual price comes out of it, you're like, oh, I'm not paying that much money. But I mean, I don't know. I don't know how expensive it's going to be, but I love that they're coming. Otherwise, what are we going to do? Roll the dice on expansion and hope that people like Salt Lake? It's much easier to control this situation, it seemed like, from Ryan Smith's standpoint. And he and Gary Bettman, of course, kind of got along swimmingly from day one a couple years ago. So this is the most preferable because it's the one that actually we know happened, and it felt like it was something that could be controlled more.
I think sometimes it's hard to see the forest through the trees because of just how close we are to everything that's going on right now. But Kevin Young is an enormous hire for BYU, and we can touch on that a little bit further. But getting an NHL team is absolutely enormous for Salt Lake City. The mayor all but announced that we're going to get the Olympics in 2034 at the right. Hockey press conference by saying, like, all we have to do is put in the bid and then it's ours because nobody else is bidding on it. Like, we are getting an Olympics, a huge head coaching hire at one of our local colleges, universities,
right.
And NHL in one summer. Like, this is a monumental summer for what it means to be a sports fan in Utah and being on the national map.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly right. Like, all of it is stuff that I think at some point, because we can get pretty pessimistic and go, no, we're not getting an NHL team in our lifetime. No, nobody likes Salt Lake that much. No, it's not going to happen. Kevin Young going to BYU? No freaking way. One, they can't pay him. Two, he's too big of a name. They're not going to be able to get it. That's like asking for Andy Reid. You know, I mean, I know so many people. I'm not kidding. And they do it without irony, too. They'll be like, I think that if we called Andy Reid after, you know, maybe a couple of years of winning Super Bowls, we'd be able to get Andy Reid down here to BYU. And I'm always like, you're insane. It felt like that because I had so many people being like, this Kevin Young thing's going to happen, right? I'm like, I don't know why he would want to leave $2 million a year as a lead assistant and one of these young names in the NBA to go to BYU where he's certainly going to get a pay cut. And he did not get a pay cut. He doubled it, right? I mean, there's all sorts of crazy stuff with that story. And, yeah, the Olympics coming is like almost like no big deal. We know how to host it. We know how terrible other cities are at it, and we know how good we can be at it. And it's like the hockey team is insane. A possibility of a Major League Baseball team is insane. And now we're kind of like accepting it. Like, no, you're good enough. We're good enough. There's no imposter syndrome anymore. It shouldn't have to be. It's a really, really good time to do what we do.
How do you think Pope will do at Kentucky?
I have a really hard time just imagining that, you know, his rah-rah attitude is going to be enough to get it done. I'm not dumb enough to think that, you know, that's all he's got, because that certainly is going to help with recruiting. And obviously it's not like he doesn't understand the culture there. He does. But it just is such a hard place. You know, it's like Kalen DeBoer is a really, really good head coach, but going to Alabama football, that's a whole different story, you know, and I'm interested to see how he does. I just feel like Kentucky isn't necessarily in an amazing place, and just adding, you know, Coach Pope and saying, well, you know, fix some of our woes, which have to do with, you know, just people not staying here for very long and trying to figure out the NIL thing, which they have a ton of. He's in a really, really good spot to be able to succeed, which makes it actually maybe a little bit harder. Does that make sense? Like, just asking a guy like, hey, we're giving you the keys to the kingdom, and that means you kind of got to get it done now. That's hard, you know. And it's a little bit tough, too, when you're the fourth choice. Like, I mean, it doesn't really, like, you know, have a ringing endorsement of all these other guys turned it down, but we really want you. That seems hard. But, you know, Mark Pope has had mixed results, you know, kind of at the different places that he's gone. But he also seems to improve the place. So I'm interested. I'm going to be, you know, we saw the official announcement with Colin Chandler today on Twitter with him going to Kentucky. We knew that was happening, which is a massive bummer for BYU. But then they get Kozlowski today, too. Like, I mean, it's just the wild ride of recruiting in college basketball is insane right now. And, you know, I hope Coach Pope does a good job, because I've always really loved that dude.
All right, more likely to succeed, Mark Pope in Kentucky or Zach Wilson in Denver?
Will Hardy at the Utah Jazz. Okay. No, that's tough. I mean, Zach Wilson may never see the field, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. Who's still there in 3 years? Who's more likely to still be in that job in 3 years?
Oh, geez. Pope will. Pope will be there longer than Zach Wilson would be, not because of anything else except for so little is in the hands of Zach Wilson. Like, so much of it is out of his control. You know, at least Mark Pope can say, I'm the guy, I can make all the decisions. Zach Wilson can go in there and sling a ball off platform and, you know, wow some people. And I think people really overshoot as to what Sean Payton's going to quote unquote do with him. Oh, he's a great offensive mind. What a great quarterback coach. Is like, yeah, but they probably aren't looking for you to fix everything. You know, add him to the list of guys who you better show it out right now, because nobody is looking at it and going, oh, Baker Mayfield's the new blueprint. That's not it. Like, the old blueprint is quarterbacks who have been kind of relative busts. And that's not to say that he's not talented, because he had a crappy hand dealt to him in New York. But it still doesn't matter. The NFL kind of goes, we know what you are, and we're going to base giving you a chance off of what we saw a long time ago, or 2 years ago, or even from this past season. And so, too much out of Zach's control for us to say, you know, that he'd be able to do it. Plus, they're going to draft another guy. Maybe he'll get a shot to get that QB1 job and beat out Jarrett Stidham for it. Heaven knows, both of those guys. It feels like a Jake Retzlaff, kind of Gary Bohannon situation, right? Where you're like, ah, wow, we don't really love either of these guys right now. But we'll see what happens. And, you know, I hope Zach can at least prove something. But he still needs time to develop. Give the guy a couple of years, just so we can learn a few more things instead of throwing him into the fire again.
Who has a better year next year, Zach Wilson with the Broncos or Caleb Williams and the Bears?
Zach will have a better year because he won't be criticized nearly as much. I think just in terms of on-field production, I don't even know if Zach's going to play. Like, I mean, Caleb Williams is going to be asked a lot, and I don't know if I love or hate what he did when he said, I'm going to try to win 8 titles and be the next Tom Brady. I mean, even people in Chicago are like, all right, back it off a little bit, buddy. Like, that's a little bit too much. I'd say Caleb Williams, just because he feels more like a legit overall number one pick. We were kind of going over yesterday that 2021 class was just like this one in terms of talent at quarterback. Five quarterbacks taken in the first 15 picks of the draft. 4 of them have been traded already to another team since 2021, all just for, you know, 6th, 7th round picks, stuff like that. And, but the one guy who did hit was Trevor Lawrence as the number one overall pick. And I think Caleb Williams, for as much as I don't like him as a poor sport, I think he probably has all the tools to actually get it done.
Alex, good to have you back, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, man, this is all good practice for me. I got to get back to the swing of it. It's weird to take that much time off, so I'm glad to be back.
All right, we'll be listening this afternoon. Thanks
Alex.
See you, fellas.
Alex Keery, co-host of JJ and Alex every afternoon right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Ben, same question to you. Who has a better year, fingernails in the Bears or Zach Wilson with the dunks?
You talking about the team or the player?
Player.
Caleb Williams. Caleb's better than Zach.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to do a lunch bet on that or something.
All right.
If that, I mean, because if he doesn't win the job, that's...
Yeah, of course.
Because they're gonna,
well, Zach's going to play.
Because they're just going to give Caleb the job. I don't know if Zach is going to play.
Well, they don't have anybody else, right?
But they're going to draft somebody.
They
and
will.
And, you know, he could get beat out by Stidham. That's not a given.
I think he's a great sacrificial lamb for the Broncos. You start him, you play him a little bit, you draft a guy in the, you know, you draft Bo Nix in the second round, or you trade up and get Bo Nix, whatever. That's the perfect spot, right? Don't overdraft somebody in the first round, or draft Michael Penix, or whoever falls to you in the second round. I don't even know what the Broncos picks are, because they traded a first round pick for Russell Wilson. Whoever falls to you of these quarterbacks, take them. Bet on that. Throw Zach Wilson out there. Let him fail for 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Or if he's great, he's great. And then you found a guy for nothing. You got him for a seventh round pick swap.
I doubt he'll be great, but I think he has the potential to be good. I might bet on Zach Wilson with that.
Why do you think he could be good?
Because of his coach.
Okay. You are doing the opposite of what Alex said.
Yeah.
You think there's a chance that they put him in such a great situation that
it
that
makes
he
him
just
better.
Picks it up. All right.
Because what does Sean Payton like to do? Get the ball out of his hands.
Yeah.
Take two steps back and throw it. And you would think that any offensive line would be better than the Jets' offensive line. So he might actually have the chance to throw the ball, which could be nice. So I didn't think Teddy Bridgewater would ever be a decent quarterback again. And he turned him into a guy who could win games. Teddy was never great, but he was a guy who could win games. Jameis was a guy who could win games.
Well, I love that we can talk about the Broncos because you hate the Broncos. This is a great opportunity to talk about it.
I don't like the Bears either, though.
And I will tell you, the Zach Wilson story has been my favorite story in sports locally to talk about.
Well, you just love the mom thing.
So I Googled Zach Wilson this morning. All I did. I just Googled Zach Wilson. The very first story that pops up on SEO, which is search engine optimization, it's all the digital media matters. The only thing that matters for people that don't know what that term means. What is the first hit that pops up when you Google something? It was a Fox News article about Lisa Wilson. It's unbelievable that continues to drive
not second pick
so
in the draft.
So much traffic. Not Broncos quarterback. Not can he be the next John Elway, Peyton Manning, like fake legacy. Can you get this guy on, you know, to turn into a superstar and win a Super Bowl there? It's about Lisa. It's hilarious that she still drives traffic that well. But it's just hilarious. The New York media is hilarious. Jets fans are hilarious. So the Zach Wilson thing has been so funny to watch. And then to have the local angle of it with some BYU diehards who think that everyone is wronging Zach Wilson. The truth that they were wronging Zach Wilson. That for some reason they thought sprinkling in not just Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers and Hard Knocks into the mix was going to be a good decision, only to have Aaron Rodgers tear his Achilles 4 seconds into the game of his career in New York, to have to bring back Zach Wilson after the entire Hard Knocks was like, finally got that bozo out of here.
Just crapping on Zach
Wilson. Finally,
we
got a real quarterback back there.
But listen.
It's been a great story to cover. So now the fact that we actually get to bring him to our closest team geographically is even better.
Okay, but see, this is what I love about this job. You sit in this seat long enough, you see everything repeat itself. I've already been through this with Alex Smith. And Alex Smith turned out to be a good quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
High draft pick. Mm-hmm. New offensive coordinator every single year. San Francisco hated him. They thought he sucked.
Yep.
And then Jim Harbaugh benched him using a concussion as an excuse, which I find disgusting.
Yep.
But for Colin Kaepernick, who didn't turn out to be a guy.
I mean, he got to the Super Bowl, but okay.
I think Alex Smith could have gone to the Super Bowl with that team. He's the one who was the quarterback of that team for the majority of the year.
Sure.
But neither here nor there.
Right.
He gets himself to a better spot for him with a coach that is better for him, who runs a better system for him, and all of a sudden he turns into a decent quarterback. Not an all-pro, not a Hall of Famer, didn't get Kansas City over the hump, but turned out to be a pretty good quarterback. I've seen it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and
by the way, on the other side, it was Cougar fans here locally that were going, that guy sucks. Yeah. It's not about the coordinators. He's just a bum. I've seen it. He can't play. Yeah. And he goes and plays for Andy Reid, and all of a sudden the same Cougar fans are like, I kind of like that Alex Smith. He's a pretty good player. Go, Alex. Go get him, Alex.
And even though his career ended as a result, and I actually, one of the most incredible things is that he ever came back and took a snap after that leg injury. But he was also there to be the placeholder until the next guy took over. Now, it just so happened that the next guy is in the conversation already for maybe being the greatest ever at that position. But he was there to be there until Pat Mahomes or whoever the next in line was ready to take over, and that might be the same thing for Zach Wilson. But so it is hilarious how similar those two things are. The difference being?
Alex was in San Francisco longer.
And can Sean Payton be as good as Andy Reid was?
Was for. Yeah. It's funny.
Those are the questions.
We've seen it. The shoe was on the other foot
but it's
nearly
identical.
And it's like the same thing.
It's nearly identical.
And San Francisco was a terrible. You know, one of his head coaches was Mike Singletary. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. And you're right. He had a new coordinator every year. Exactly what has happened for Zach Wilson.
Yep.
Had some injuries mixed in here and there. Not as bad as what Zach Wilson has dealt with, but yeah.
Similar.
Very similar.
Nate Hackett was his offensive coordinator last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Maybe Zach doesn't have the career that Alex did because Alex ended up having a good career. That is certainly a possibility. But I'm intrigued to see him in a different situation. I really am.
It was my favorite story since 2020. I mean, watching BYU's near undefeated season sans Coastal Carolina. And then this just continues. Yeah. I mean, this just new lifeblood. I love this.
Sorry, Sarah. We're way over. Stay tuned. We'll have more next. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The sports you love, the teams you can't live without.
Get a sense of urgency!
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
I have a ring in your This segment is brought to you by Peach Doors and Windows, Utah's premier door and window retailer, combining beauty and technology in doors and windows since 1993. Call them today for an in-home estimate, 801-566-1255, Peach Doors and Windows. It is Jake and Ben wrapping up a Tuesday show. I'm getting more used to the days being kind of on track now that jazz season is over. Although, Ben, as you pointed out, was it yesterday or maybe it was last week, that feels like a million years has passed since the jazz season ended.
Yeah, I'll be curious what this next little bit looks like. They had bad luck yesterday.
Oh, yeah, they lost the coin flip.
Now, they fell from the 28th pick in the draft to the 29th pick in the draft. That's ultimately where it really does not matter a whole lot, you know. And those picks, I suspect, at least one of the two picks that's going to be 32nd, which is the pick they got from the Pistons, which ironically is the Wizards pick, and the pick that they got from the Pace or the Raptors, which is the Oklahoma City Thunder pick, they're not going to make both of those, I don't think. They will either package them together to move up or sell them or trade them for a future draft pick of some type. That's what I expect to happen for the Jazz in that pick. So falling from 28 to 29 is not a big deal. But I did go back and look through the last 15 years of Jazz coin toss tiebreakers. The Jazz have never outright won a tiebreaker on a coin toss.
Never?
No, they've had a couple of four-way ties where they ended up getting second of the four, which in that case you did win, but you never won the ultimate.
You never
went number one overall. Mm. And it's like eight times in a row. Like, flip a coin eight times in a row and get heads eight times in a row is not going to happen. So the fact that this has happened for the Jazz on all these 50-50 draws that they keep losing is kind of hilarious. It's not good. And the most important one was 2012, I think it was, where it wasn't even their coin toss. It was the Raptors and the Warriors. And if the Raptors had won, they would have had the seventh pick, and the Warriors would have had the eighth pick. And the pick that they owed to the Jazz in the Richard Jefferson, et cetera trade was top seven protected. So if they had fallen to eighth, the Jazz would have gotten the eighth overall pick in the draft. It goes at seven.
You know what's funny slash depressing about that? Like, the odds of losing eight coin flips in a row is like one in a zillion.
Yeah.
But your odds of winning the ninth one are no better.
Still 50-50.
Are still 50-50. So you think about it that way, like you'd think, okay, we've lost eight in a row. Our odds of winning one now has got to be much better because the odds of that happening are already – but no. The odds are the same, so it doesn't really –
the odds of not like, and I don't know if it's exactly, it might be six or whatever, but if it was eight, like it kind of has been over the last 15 years, the odds of losing eight in a row is 0.003.
Yeah.
A third of a thousand, yeah. 3/1000th of a percent. So like when we talk about, hey, the odds of moving up in the draft are only 26% chance to move up into the top four, it's like, it's better than losing eight coin tosses in a row.
And the odds of it continuing? 50-50.
Your next one, just as likely to lose as you are to win.
All right, Hans and Scotty G are coming up next. Stay tuned, 97.5.
Thanks, Sarah.
The KSL Sports Zone.
The murder of two men forces their families to wrestle with impossible questions. Who is forgiveness for? Does everyone deserve a second chance? Follow season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.